Does that work?
Oh,
yep. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. Just to give me a chance to get my head around what the audience is about, does anyone or do the people in the room already work or attempt to connect with industry or academia in what they're currently doing? If you stick your hand up, it'd be helpful. If you already do it, that's one or two hands. Can you stick your hand up if you think you're either going to need to do this in the next 5 to 10 years because you want to or because someone's going to tell you to do it? Can you stick your hand up? I think that's most of the people in the room. Now, STEMnet doesn't exist to do this for you, but I hope I'm going to convince you in the next 5 to 10 minutes that we can help you do that. That's what I'm kind of trying to achieve. Right, what am I looking for? Okay, this is a very short introduction to STEMnet and the STEM Ambassador Program for computer science teachers. I'm going to, in terms of the content, I'm going to try and kind of give you our view of what the STEM agenda is about, and we put computing science under technology because it would be too difficult to make an acronym that would include computer science and enterprise and everything else that we get involved with. Our introduction to STEMnet and our partners in Scotland, we call them contract holders, but it's important to get the impression that we're quite a lean, if not always mean, organisation. I'm the only employee that STEMnet has in Scotland, but we work with partners, and I'll show you where they are. And then an overview of the STEM Ambassador Programme. The STEM agenda, in a nutshell, is basically about ensuring that the needs of employers are met in terms of the skills base for the future. That doesn't mean that we're all about creating cannon fodder for industry. It's important, however, to recognise that as we're funded by the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills, we kind of are funded by the economic side of the government rather than the educators purely. But we do that by helping teachers to create and deliver a challenging curriculum for perhaps the more capable, but making sure that STEM literacy, the population at large, is also addressed. And we try to do that also by ensuring that there's opportunities to enthuse the children in your charges by what we normally call an enrichment. I think it's important to point out this notion that STEM skills are not just about associated with bringing people forward into engineering or computing science or digital professions, etc. I think probably 40 to 50% of employers in those fields are experiencing real problems in getting employees of the future, but it's important to recognise that most employers also see those skills as very transferable. You're as likely to see a physicist or a computer science engineer running around in a Ferrari in London because they're involved in modelling with investment banks as you would do someone with my speciality, which is economics and business studies. I think that notion of transferable skills is quite important. Who is STEMnet? Well, actually, STEMnet I can't say that we drive the STEM agenda, but I think it would be fair to say that we've been at the heart of the STEM agenda since it really began. Our patron, Lord Sainsbury, who's now currently our president, started the STEM Ambassador Programme while he was a science minister in the Blair government, and Sir Gareth Roberts wrote the Set for Success report for the then Chancellor Gordon Brown, one of the recommendations of which was to give people like me a job. So there's somebody like me in each population set for about 5 million, and there's me for Scotland. This presentation will actually go out you all as part of this, so I don't want to labour any of the words. But we actually have people who actually conduct this type of work on our behalf across the country. I hope this machine is going to work. Up in Inverness, we've got the University of Highlands and Islands and a partnership with Highlands and Islands Enterprise that does this work for us. Dundee Science Centre covers the Aberdeen and Dundee and Perth and Kinross area. We have Science Connect based in the University of Glasgow that covers the South West with 151 secondary schools, and Global Science based in Forth Valley College that cover the Borders, Stirling, Edinburgh and Fife areas. So we do actually cover the whole country. We fundamentally are focused on the secondary sector, but that's not to exclude primary. It's just that we respond to primary schools when they come to us, and we're charged to do that. But if the secondary schools do not come to us, we absolutely must go to them. So we will park our tanks on your lawn and beat your door down until somebody in the school actually meets us. And that's how our contract is run. We're pretty tough, actually, tough taskmasters. Now, we have three principal programs. Two of them are linked. The STEM Advisory Network exists to enable us to try and cut down your research time. As busy professionals, we know how important your time is, and really we act as a first point of contact to give you advice on how to get the best out of enrichment activities, irrespective of what those are. Those activities can be used in the standard delivery of the curriculum, but we also have a STEM clubs project to ensure that all schools in the country are at least aware of the benefits of actually starting this type of activity in a club environment. It's not because we want you to only deliver this type of activity for the dozen or so children that might be the most enthusiastic of your charges. We recognise it's a brilliant opportunity for staff development and to trial concepts in a club environment with an enthusiastic audience that can be used for the rest of the school year. And then our big project really is the STEM Ambassador Programme. Examples of the schemes and activities that exist, in fact, are almost limitless. There's not a week that goes past without me discovering something else that someone's invested in. But the principal ones have associated themselves with both science and technology over the years because they initially came out of the need to address the weaknesses in the engineering industry skill set. But there are many, many, many programs that support science in terms of physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, and engineering. But there is also a whole series of programs that exist to support computer science, and you'll have come across some of them today if you've been into the drop-in workshops for the Coder Dojo, Coder Clubs, Apps for Good, and many others that exist. We do not get funded to deliver these programs, but we are funded to ensure that you find out about them. Our important function is to make sure that 100% of schools are aware of this and know how to engage with them, because we recognise that it's a kind of minefield out there, a nice minefield, but a minefield nevertheless. The way it works for a STEM advisory network is the scheme providers, irrespective of who they are, come to our people, and our people actually have to put the existence of these in documents which have a physical existence like this. And this is distributed to a face-to-face meeting that happens in every secondary school in the country. So if you're not already involved, please beat a path to the door of the people in your school that are involved, because we definitely come into your schools. It's most often led by a PTE science or a faculty head of science, faculty head of mathematics, but we're definitely, definitely incredibly keen for computing science professionals to actually start getting involved in those meetings for sure. Once they are put out in this in the physical version once a year, this is updated at least as a minimum of three times a year in a termly sense, and often more than that. And if you get involved in those meetings, we will capture your details and we'll ensure that anything that's happening in your patch that is appropriate to you, you get to find out about. That's what the advisory network's about. The aims of the Ambassador Programme is to provide schools with access to a PVG cleared and trained external people from business or universities who can help you deliver your subject. Now, it's important to recognise that the word trained doesn't necessarily mean trained to become an expert teacher. These individuals are getting an induction training session. We give them optional extra training, but please be aware that they're not necessarily going to be able to replicate the year's training that you get to start you off in a teaching profession, or the 20 years experience that you actually have doing what you do. Please don't assume that they're always going to be gifted speakers, but they will always be giving of the best when they come to your class, and it's about you actually determining what they're best at and how they fit into what you want to do. We provide companies and STEM ambassadors with the opportunity to make a difference and support them in doing so. So it's effectively, there's two sides to the service. We're supporting teachers, but we're supporting industry. This is our way of helping industry get to do what they actually want to do. Industries are always expressing the interest of wanting to do something. We kind of facilitate them doing that. And in fact, it was a cracking introduction when the gentleman in the front here gave you the indication that that's exactly what we do. If we hadn't existed, you may eventually have found out how to work with schools, but we kind of smooth the process. So we grease the wheels for industry to work with schools, and similarly grease the wheels for schools to reach out into industry. I think that's the easiest way to describe what we do. We've got 29,000 ambassadors from across the country. 3,000 are based inside Scotland. 43% are female, 66% under 35, and 23% are non-graduates. Maybe not as appropriate for computing science, but we recognise now that for the other areas, that the graduates are no longer as big a skill shortage as they were. We certainly recognise that we're actually trying to promote the non-graduate routes into employment through apprenticeships as well, and we have a lot of technicians that help us do that. We recruit them, and that's actually quite a complicated process and one that we've been doing for 17 years. We give them induction and optional training. We give them the PVG clearance and then ensure them to work inside schools if they're not doing so as part of the day job. They are all free to schools. Then we do the linking. You may have not heard of STEM ambassadors before, but you may well have worked with people who are in some way, shape, or form working in the STEM ambassador program, but under another title. The technology ambassadors, about 300 of our people are now technology ambassadors. That's 10%, and we will definitely grow this dramatically over the next 2 years. And they come from Atos, Barclays, BT, Thales Optronics, and the list, I'm not going to go through this particular list, but we're basically starting to get really good traction with many companies that do actually want to support technology. Well, the ambassador activity is really down to you to some extent because they are there to support, not replace, what happens in the classroom. They only have to do one activity a year for us for 3 years to be ambassadors, but the ones that get a good experience will do significantly more than that. Examples of STEM ambassador activity can be the likes of the supporting Coder Dojos, the Code Clubs, Apps for Good, and I found out today actually that from the first LEGO League, that all 28 of their teams were supported by STEM ambassadors. That might not have been obvious to the schools involved in that, so that's just the nature of it. We kind of get everywhere, but we do want them to be more involved in schools with careers awareness activity, and supporting things like the launch of AVUs and potentially advanced hires, and assisting with curriculum development, which is also possible. We can only get people to actually do this for us in the long term if we actually address some of their needs. It's not just about giving back to the community. They actually develop skills by getting involved in the ambassador program. So you've got people that actually do this because it can help the CV, but it also helps this professional development. So, for example, those people who might be aspiring to a customer-facing role can actually cut their teeth in communications by dealing with the surly 14-year-olds that we all know and love, if that makes sense. And that's one of the things they get out of it. But why do teachers do it? We hope that they do it because we're somehow addressing their needs as well, and that's the key of it. It won't work without teacher buy-in. And I think that, you know, there's lots of here that you can look at, but it's demonstrating how your subject is applied in the real world that we think is the big key, and also providing an insight into where your subjects might actually end up. Now, we've got lots of companies that are lined up to do this, but it's worth perhaps running through a single example of a company that's actually done an awful lot for us. BT started with 40 ambassadors in Glasgow and piloted a Raspberry Pi workshop with Renfrew High School before they're running out to 10 other schools. Since doing that and getting the feel for that and getting a good experience, they deliver robo Olympic challenges, support code clubs, and assist the young engineers and science clubs with rampaging chariots. They wouldn't do that if they didn't get a good experience, and that good experience, to some extent, is down to you as much as it is to them. So they have involved, not just BT ambassadors, but they're involved with all sorts of things now. And these are the technology ambassadors I'm showing you. So they are involved in projects to build PCs from scratch, Codo Dojos and 3D printer projects, if you like. And success is dependent on preparation and partnership. So it really is very much about trying to talk to these individuals. They will never be able to come into your class and take over from what you do, and you shouldn't expect them to do that. Yes, Lord Sainsbury and Lord Winston may be ambassadors, but I can't promise that the like of those people can walk in and take over what you're doing and wow the kids. That wowing takes place through partnership between yourself and the volunteers. The other three things I want you to remember is that they are volunteers, they are not teachers, and they are volunteers. So you've got to treat them like volunteers and recognise that to get them to go back and keep coming back to you and hopefully other schools is dependent on creating that good experience. And you won't let them back in unless they create a good experience for you. Does that make sense? That's it.
Thank you very much, Gus.
Yeah.
I hope many of you will be inspired to now maybe approach StemNet and get some people into your school.